Open the Word of God, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Chapter number 7. I'm honored to be here. And my age, I'm honored to be anywhere. But how wonderful, and just a good song service and everything. And it's always good to be with Brother Billy and all of you. And I want you to have a revival today. Amen. And starts today and in your heart and your life. And what a great day. We're running out of revivals. Many churches don't have them anymore. And some of them have one day. I have a church I went to for many, many years down in Alabama. Some of the greatest revivals I ever had down through the years. I could tell you about one of the greatest thing I've ever been in my life. And now today, last January, I preached there. They have a one-day call revival. And I preached. I sat in this Sunday school office with, the pastor studied, my wife and I did. And he'd been a longtime friend. And I met him when he's a youth director at that church. And then he became a preacher. And then when the pastor resigned, he took the church. And we were sitting in the office. And he began to say, well, over here in the other church, in fact, I was with him when they built that church, when they moved. And I said, you built too small. Today they got a 2,000-seat auditorium. They run about 1,500 people every year. Would break the Sunday school record. And but anyhow, we sat there, and he said, that building, the old church over there, he said, that's for young people. They got their drums, and they got their lights and all that. Said, you have to do that today to get the young people. I wanted to say something, but I was going to preach. I didn't want to get mad. I'm under the impression if we'll lift up Jesus, he's still the drawing power. And but anyway, I preached that morning, and the choir, they had all that contemporary stuff, and I got up and I preached, and boy, the altar's filled Sunday morning, Sunday night. One of the men had been there for many years, came up, and the pastor standing there, and he said to me, and to the pastor, said, this is like it used to be. Well, I've come too far to change. I like it like it was. I like it is in my life. And let's just see something special from heaven. Now, did I tell you about the fellow was talking about his upcoming 50th wedding anniversary? And the guy said, wow, 50 years. That's a long time. He said, yes, it is. He said, oh, well, what did you do for your 25th wedding anniversary? He said, man, I bought my wife a lot of new clothes. I bought her a diamond ring and a new car. And so I took her to Greece. He said, man, that was great. He said, what are you going to do for your 50th anniversary? He said, I'm going back and get her. Second Chronicle chapter number 7, beginning in verse 1. Solomon has just prayed a great prayer, starting chapter 6. And now he's finishing the prayer. But I'd like for you to look here in chapter 6 and verse 26. And he said, when the heaven is shut up and there's no rain because they have sinned against thee. Yet if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them. He said, there's no rain because you've sinned. This year, our nation had 63% of our nation was in drought. And I believe that God has got his, since they're going the route concerning the sin of homosexuality, and they announced okay by the president, it put a death knell to our nation. I think whatever we're going to see from God, we've got to see it now. How many of you believe the Lord could come today? Would you raise your hand? All right, let me ask you, what are you doing to get people saved? What are you doing to get people right with God? And this is what revival is all about, get us stirred up again and to do something for the Lord. Now listen to what he said. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, their fire came down from heaven, I like that, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not, can you imagine that? cannot enter into the house of the Lord. I've heard Brother May said, boy, it's getting foggy in here. But the glory of God filled the house. And he said, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to preach this morning, and I'll preach briefly. We'll be out here by 2 o'clock, but in the morning. But I want to preach today on the kind of revival that we need. A kind of revival that we need. Many things today, they say we're having revival. But as fathers, revival means to relive. I'm talking about, I have written some things down right here on a piece of paper. I want to read to you what other men have said about revival. It says, when a person or community is saturated with the presence of God. And then secondly, he said, it's an invasion from heaven, and which brings a conscious awareness of God. Thirdly, it's a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Fourthly, it's a divine intervention in the normal course of things. Not many people have ever lived to see revival. Many people of this generation have never seen real Holy Ghost. Oh, you have good services and people get saved. I'm talking about revival. You can have people saved on Monday and still not our Sunday, and still not, that's not revival. A revival is for the people of God. You cannot revive something that's dead. A sinner is dead in the trespasses and in sins. Notice what he said here about his prayer. The Bible said the fire fell. Oh, Solomon, he prayed, and the glory, I'm talking about the fire of the Lord came down. Secondly, he said there, the people worship. Now, I want to ask you this question. How many of you this morning thought when you left the house that you're going over to Benson Grove Baptist Church to worship? Did that ever enter your mind? Or did you say, I'm going to church? The average person in a service never worships. I mean, at 12 o'clock, their mind's already eaten instead of being in the house of God. Some people already, your mind has drifted. And we did not come. We come to worship God. Brethren, we've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. If we put God first, then our services will take a different tone. I'm talking about coming in. And you see, have you ever heard anybody say, well, preach, I go to church, I just don't get anything out of it. Yet you backslid. What it is, the Lord's already here. You understand that? Every time you come to the house of God, he's here. And if you don't get in on it, that's your problem. But see, you haven't read your Bible all week, haven't prayed all week long, and unless you wanted something, you know, and but you come to the house of God. Now, Lord, I'm here. It doesn't work that way. Then you got that crowd said, well, I'm just not being fed. Have you ever tried to feed a dead person? I'm talking about we come to the house of God and your mind will drift, and your mind begins to go everywhere else. Can you shut it out? I mean, talking about, and you come to worship the Lord. If Brother Billy was preaching, I'd make sure that I zeroed in everything he said. I want to concentrate because God has got something for you. But did you come today for God to really stir up your heart? And he talked about the glory of the Lord. And then he said here, it feels that glory filled the house. Now that great passage of scripture still works today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, how many of you know you're saved? Say amen. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. You know what Baptists can do? They can strut sitting down. I mean, man, there. Oh, I'm okay. I've been saved all these years. I'm okay. No, no. It's not what you used to be. It's what you are now. And he said, seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal the land. It still works. I've had preachers down through the years say, well, that's not for us today. You put in those four principles there. It still works today. God of the yesterday is the God of today. Now, I'm feeling good already. You understand? Let me give you about seven simple things, the kind of revival that we need. I'm talking about you and me. Don't get to the place that you're satisfied with your Christian life. Don't get to the place that you're complacent and satisfied of how and what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people said, well, I used to be this. When that means you're not where you ought to be today. I'm talking about we need an up-to-date revival experience. But I find many people do not want revival. I saw something the other day was very interesting. And here's what he said. Four reasons you don't have revival. Because people said, let's have a real short one. Not today. And he said, then not very long. and we can do without them. You just don't have revivals today. You see, the mindset is that revival, you might have to lose a little sleep. You might have to do something, might have to do a lot of things if real Holy Ghost revival would come. First of all, we find here the glory of the Lord fell. Now, let me just share this with you. I mentioned about that church in Anniston, Alabama, that the revival. One time, Brother Billy, the glory. We were breaking the Sunday school record. That morning, the balcony was filled. The choir was filled in the Sunday school hour. And I was teaching everybody. And that choir had 100 and something in the choir. And they began to sing. But during the week, they'd sing that song for 1,000 tongues and 1,000 hands to raise and 1,000 tongues to sing about the glory of the Lord. One night I said, well, you're talking about 1,000 hands to raise. You don't even raise the two you got. But that morning when I got through teaching Sunday school and the glory of God was in there. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, everybody couldn't get in. They had chairs down the aisle, down the wall. And the young people, it was back in the other small kids, was back in the other building. And don't move. Don't move unless you need the restroom facilities. I said, will you just somehow pray. Just pray that God will move here today. Well, the choir started singing that morning, and all of a sudden, they had not planned it, but all of a sudden their hands went up. When it did, the glory came down. A lady goes up that way, come down this aisle over here, and brings somebody down the aisle. They started clapping, and another one come. They started, and about right in the middle of that, I heard this secretary, she's still there. Teresa's her name. Said, look, Rick. And Rick was assistant pastor. Said, they're up in the balcony. Now, here's an old man they'd been praying for. He came down that aisle. I'm talking about weeping. When he came in that auditorium, they clapped and they stood and they praised God. A dear lady, a gray-headed lady back over there in the corner, jumping up and down, said, God has fell down among us. And at 1 o'clock, that was 11 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, lined up across there, from wall to wall. It wasn't as wide as this auditorium, wall to wall, about as many people could get to there, to the front pew. And in that service, when I said, don't move, there was two families there. The husband that's already filed for divorce, they got him to come to Sunday school to help break the record. And when I said, don't move, they said, we can't leave now. But you know what? They got saved that morning. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? It's not emotionalism. When the power of God comes, hey, the Holy Ghost is convicting people. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Number one, what kind of a revival we need? We need a revival of the fear of God. In the book of Romans, he says, I fear God. No, no. He said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Fearing God is not, I fear him because I love him. The world, he said, there is no fear of God. Another thing, the world and even Christian people, we've lost our fear of God. You're looking at one preacher that I fear God. I reverence God. And he's talking about here that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I fear him because I love him. I fear him. But we've lost that fear and that awe of God.
God Almighty. We've heard it so much, but when you hear the name of the Lord, it was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible said there is no fear of God. We've lost that awe. I mean, that awe, that reverence of God. Mother, I like that song, "We've Met to Worship." To do what? To worship the Lord, not to come to see where you like to sing it or the preaching. You come to worship God with your mind fixed upon God. And that's what he's talking about. Number two, we need a revival of the first love. I'm talking about the first love. The day that I got saved, I remember I got saved around 12 o'clock. And Brother Billy, I've been able to preach several times, and I'm going down in January, sometime in January, to go down there and preach. Anyway, I rehearse my conversion every day. Every morning, every day, sometime during the day, in the morning when I pray, I go back over again when I got saved. I can tell you some things that the preacher said. I can tell you some things that I said, and so on. So the preacher said, "Son, what's the Lord done for you?" I said, he said, "Do you think he'll save you?" I said, "I know he will." He said, "When are you going to do that?" I said, "Right now." I got up and I testified. And nobody had to beg me to join the church. I've had people say, "We will pray about getting baptized." No, you don't have to pray about it. That's just automatic. Right. Amen. Anyway, we had a little creek down there, Wills Creek. It's still there. And at 2 o'clock, they had a baptizing. So I was baptized at 2 o'clock. You know what I did at 6 o'clock? I ran to church. Now, a lot of people make professions today, and on a Sunday morning, you might not find them again for 6 weeks. When you get saved, you automatically want to go to church. Automatically. I ran back to church. In fact, I couldn't wait until I got through singing so I could stand up and tell them what happened to me that morning. And a lady came up to me that night when I got through, after service was over, and she said, "Son, you're going to be a preacher." And I are. Hey, until this day, nobody ever came to me and said, "We missed you in church." You know why? Because I was at church. Only time I ever missed someone was sick. Not just two or three times. What I'm saying is, I see these people that you have to beg to come to revival. I see these people you have to beg them to come back Sunday night. There's something missing in your life when worship becomes a burden. There's something missing in your life when it's a dread to go to the house of God. I can hear parents say, "Come on, kids. We got to go to church. If we don't, Brother Billy would get on to us. Come on." Going to church, hallelujah, is the right thing for a Christian to do. I want to ask you, why do you have to be big? "Please come back tonight. Please come to..." Why would you even have to ask a Christian to have to beg them to come see and worship together and have revival? We've lost our first love. See, hey, let me show you. In the book of Revelation, the Lord said to the church of Ephesus, he said, "I know your labor. I know your patience. You've dealt with others." But he said, "You've lost your first love." Now listen to me. You can sing in the choir and still have lost your first love. You can be a Sunday school teacher and still lost that first love. You can be just a church member and come to church and still lose that thrill and that joy and that excitement. "I just haven't gotten over the fact that Jesus died for me, that Jesus gave his life for me, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of my peace was upon my Lord." And this church is about, it's not the building, you and I are the church. When you pray for the church, you're not praying for this building. You're praying for one another. The first love. My wife and I, in March, will be 59 years. I told her last year, I said, hey, babe, if you'll straighten out just about that much, we'll have a perfect marriage. She said, it works both ways. 59 years. And I love her today more than I've ever loved her. Why? Because what a sweet relationship. And after all these years, people say, when you're going to retire? Ain't. I might have to quit, but I ain't stopping. Some of you, there was a time you'd never miss a revival service. You'd never miss a Sunday night or Wednesday nights. It's a pathetic on Sunday nights to some churches. Oh, yeah, I went to church. If you really love God, you love the house of God. If you love God, I'm talking about, I tell seniors, well, preacher, just can't get out like I used to. But you're the one that goes to Walmart at 9 o'clock at night. I was in West Virginia. And I honestly, I didn't know this. But I said, you know, seniors can get in a bus and drive, go a 500-mile trip, get in on Friday or Saturday and come in Sunday morning and come out and say, Pastor, can't get out tonight. I can't get out at night like I used to. And all week long, I'd been getting out at night. It's amazing. It's just, it's different when you go to church. I want to ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you think Jesus deserves something better than being a Sunday morning Christianette? Oh, yes, sir. So you can dress like a majorette and smoke a cigarette. Don't you think you deserve something better than that? What I'm trying to say, the first love he's talking about. I mean, maybe you sang in the choir. Maybe you taught a Sunday school class. Maybe there's a time in your life that you were Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You couldn't wait. I was over in the mountains of North Carolina and back over where that river Nantahala is, back over in that section. And boy, God got in that revival meeting. I'm talking about the Lord moved in. And churches began to hear about it, and they moved, and they moved to prayer meetings. They came, and one night, this man stood up and said, I got to say, before I preach, he said, I got to say something. He said, for the first time in a long time, I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. Woo! Hey, I tell you why. If their love is what it ought to be, you can't wait to get here. You can't wait to do something for God. Hey, listen to me. We need that first love that we had for the Lord Jesus Christ. A revival to just loving Jesus. This is not your church. It's not Billy Caswell's church. It's the Lord's church. And the way you treat the church is really what you think about Jesus Christ. Why are churches closing Sunday nights? Why are they closing Wednesday nights? Because of the indifference of the people of God. Because the indifference of the things of God. And we're the ones just stopping revival, not the world. Our world outside and everything's falling apart. But it depends upon the saints of God. Why, there was a time you tithed. There was a time you wouldn't let a day go by unless you read your Bible. There was a time you had a time alone with God. That was a time that you wanted to do something for God. But now you just come to church. I mean, you're commanded to do that. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But you know who's stopping churches? Church people. I'm just telling you what the pastor told me to tell you. Church people. I mean, we're the one that determines what happens here at this great church. God bless you, was a great pastor and wife. I'm telling you, it's leadership and you following him, you have what you have today. But what if everybody got involved? And I've heard people say, I don't know what to do. Well, I read the Bible, tells you what to do. I mean, just tell it to read the Word of God. But if you know to do good and do it not, it's sin. I've had people say, well, I know ought to come. Then if you don't, the Bible says if you know to do good and do it not, it's sin. 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 Well, I know what ought to pray. Sin. I know I ought to go to church more. Sin. Hey, by the way, if you want to know if your prayers are getting answered, don't tell anybody what you're praying for and mark it off as you pray and find out where God answers or not. Now, thirdly, we need revival. I like this. Of the fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord. Down in my heart, in my early ministry, I was saved in a missionary Baptist church. But never saw a missionary. They talk about missions. Never saw a missionary. Well, when I first started in the ministry in 1954, full time, I met a man named Paul Pappas. He was a big guy. He was Greek. Paul Pappas, one of the most godly men I've ever met in my life. He got his citizenship because of his bravery in World War I. On a Sunday morning, during the week, I'd pick him up. Was having mission revival, and I'd pick him up. And Brother Billy, every time he'd get in the car, usually when I picked him up, he'd be in there praying. And he said, "I'll be there in a minute." And he got up, and he got in the car, and he prayed. And when you let him out, he prayed. Whew, man, he loved God. And I'm sitting over here with a pastor, a little pew about like this, and I'm sitting over here, and no carpet. He stomped across that pulpit like that. There we go, wide foot. He made a statement. He said, "There's something inside of me that's driving me like a madman." I thought, what did he say? And he repeated that. "There's something inside of me that drives me like a madman." I said, "Lord, I don't have it. But give it to me. There's something inside of me that's driving me like a madman." Hey, preacher, why don't you? Because the fire's still going. And the fire is still burning. Hey, there's something down that Rolaids and Tom can't take care of. It's the fire of the Lord. Jeremiah said, he's going to quit. "I'm going to stop." He said, "But thy word was a fire in my bones." Woo! A word was a fire in my bones. And I cannot stay. There's something that pushes. There's something that drives you. Drives me to pray. Drives me where I'm going. And everything. We need that fire of the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. I'm talking about today. The fire of the Lord. And hey, you see, when that burns in your heart, when the love of God, that desire, I want to ask you, how long has it been since you just had a real burning desire to do more than you're doing? You seniors, I'd be glad when I get to be one. The greatest lady possibly that I ever met was named Martha Rector. Martha Rector, 75 years old. And I was passing over in Chilhow, Virginia. And, we had people saved. And back in those days, people had a burden. They brought sinners to church. You listen to what I'm going to tell you. You listen to the average prayer list on Sunday. It's for sick people. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember what Dr. Adrian Rogers said. He said 99% of the prayer requests on Sunday is for sick people. Sounds like we're more interested in keeping the saints out of heaven than our sinners out of hell. We have the fire of God burns in your heart and in your life. How long has it been? How long has it been since that burning desire? I mean, you're just dissatisfied. You know you're not saved and a good person, but just somehow that fire has gone out of your heart in your life. Martha Rector fell and broke her hip. She lived in a little mobile home about two blocks behind Chilhow Baptist Church, and they were very poor, but they had a 2-tone Ford car, and had to shift that gear. Well, when she got able to come to church, at that time, you walked up steps on the side and even up front. That helped Mrs. Rector come. And when sinners up there, she'd come and stand over them. She couldn't kneel. And so I didn't know she was driving. had to shift the gear. I didn't know if she was driving. And one Thursday at the house, after lunch, the phone rang, and I said, hello. I heard someone go, woo, woo. I said, who in the world is this? She said, preacher, this is Martha Rector. I said, I just led somebody to Jesus. Over in Southwest Virginia, those were rolling hills. Just about every Thursday, my phone would ring. Woo, woo, 75. 20 years later, I'm in Kingsport, Tennessee, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Pastor got up, said, we have our nursing home services tomorrow, and turned to me and he said, I'll pick you up for lunch. You don't have to go with us. I said, okay. A young couple came in, and she had a white uniform on. They used to wear white, and nurses did. And she just got off work, came on from the hospital, came to church. She came up to me and said, hey, preacher. Said, did you know, I heard you talk about Martha Rick. And I said, oh, what a lady. Said, she's in that nursing home. I said, hey, preacher, pick me up. And went over there, got that little chapel. I stand in the doorway with one of the nurses. I said, ma'am, where's Martha Richter? She said, preacher, that's her in that wheelchair right up there. I went down there. I put my hand over her eyes. She didn't know, of course. And I stepped in front of her, and she started crying. Preacher, I wish I could get out of here and go win somebody to Jesus. That nurse said, preacher, everybody in that ward that wasn't saved is now. She led him to Jesus. 95, and the fire still burning. Oh, quit having a pity party. Let God set your heart on fire. We need a revival. I'm just burning for Jesus Christ. Not saying how much you can, how little you go to the house of God. You can make all the excuses you want to. You're the one that depends on the kind of life you live. You know why some of you can't get your neighbor to come? They watch you lay out. You know how quiet it gets? I'm talking about that love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a love of a Savior. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth me. Do you have that in your life? Or are you complacent just like you are? We come into church, feel real religious. Is that all your life going to be? Because one day, you and I will have to give an account to God of how we served Him, how faithful we were in the house of God. Hey, one day, we must. Why? 1 John 2:28. Why? Jesus said, the Word of God said, some would be ashamed before Him at His coming. Why? We sing that song, I want to see His face. Well, why would we be ashamed? Because you knew all you did was attend church occasionally, and that's only if you didn't have somewhere to go on Sunday. I've had good church people say, well, the Lord understands. That's when our family always gets together is on Sunday. Haven't you figured out the Bible said that's the Lord's day? I'm talking about revival, loving God. Loving God, that's where revival comes. Next of all, we need a revival of faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. Have you ever wondered why some people go every service and some don't? Have you ever wondered about that? You wonder why some people come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and others don't? You ever wonder about that? Ever wonder why some are doing it and some don't? We need a revival. I was in a revival in Salisbury, North Carolina, and they didn't have a choir during the week because the choir wouldn't come. All the members wouldn't come. See, if you sing in the choir, you'll give an account to God how you sing in that choir. I was in church around Greensboro a few years ago, and sitting in Sunday school class, and the teacher got up. I didn't know he was anything. I'd never been in that class. And he got up and said, I'm not the regular teacher. Said, just as I started out this morning,
got a call, and it was from the teacher, and said he wouldn't be here today. He had company to come. And I got mad. He wouldn't do his boss that way Monday. Hey, boss, you'll understand. You'll understand. I got company. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I understand. I'll go ahead and pay you. And yet, that's the way we do the things of God. If we got company, you know, I ain't going. You don't let them keep you from work or anything else. What I'm trying to say, let's have revival just being honest with God. Amen. Just being honest with yourself. Do you want to continue as you are, but would you like to finish your life, the rest of your life, on fire for God? Amen. Because you know what? You and I are the one that's stopping sinners from getting saved. I'm going to ask you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you in 1 year helped one soul to Christ? I've had people say, preacher, I don't want to tell them. You know what to tell them? Paul told them how he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. I just tell them how I got saved. It's that simple. Faithfulness. It is required, the Bible said. It is required that a man be found faithful. I'm talking about required that a man be faithful. On your record in heaven. How about your Sunday school record? Well, I don't come to Sunday school. I don't like it. Well, dummy, all they do is teach the Bible. You just like sleep late. That's what pastors told me. I'm talking about, hey, this is the Lord's work. Not mine, nor yours. We need a revival of just confession. Lord, we failed you. People are going to hell. All of you raised your hand. I believe he could come today. But what are we doing to rescue those that would not go? Some of you got brothers and sisters, maybe even children, grandchildren. By the way, I've got my first great-grandson, 5 weeks old. Looks like his papa. I'm telling you, I don't want anybody's blood to be required at my hands. I don't care if you're secretary, water boy, usher, whatever you are. Be faithful. Faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. You see, Sundays have become fun day. Getaway day. And the things of God have become ho-hum. We've gotten used to not doing anything. We got used to not doing many things. And as a result, our churches are suffering. People are dying without Christ. Let me go on down right quickly. We need a revival of forsaken idols. You know what an idol is? Anything can come before God. Your family can come before God. You know what Jesus said? If you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you hate not your father, your mother, your brother and sister, you cannot be my hate. That word hate doesn't mean animosity. Here's what it is. Dawned on me one day. Mother didn't die for me. She was a godly woman and couldn't read or write. She wouldn't let her go to school, but she was a godly woman. My dad was a preacher, but daddy didn't die for me. Mother didn't die for me. Jesus died for me. My allegiance is to him who gave his life for me. Hallelujah. We need a revival of forsaking anything that come before you and me and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you the next thing. We need a revival of flowing tears. Of flowing tears. Let me just give you something. I want you to turn to Psalms 126. Give me about 3 or 4 more minutes. I want you to listen now. Do you want revival? Don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Nothing. Do you really want revival to start in your... I'm talking about just something that'll make you burn. How long's it been since you said tears for revival? Let me say, our sinners. How long's it been since you had a heavy heart for somebody lost? I want you to look in Psalms 126 and verse 5. I heard Sumner Wimp years ago make this statement on Dr. Jerry Falwell's program on radio. And I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. He said, he that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that soweth in tears reapeth in joy. Here's what he says. He said, you know why we don't have a lot of people saved in our churches and some don't have anybody saved? He said, if we weep, we reap. If we don't, we won't. I'm glad I was born in the age
of time that I was. Because even as a young man, teenager, I remember people weeping. Prayer meetings were not, it wasn't like they are today. They just quit calling midweek service now, quit calling them prayer meeting. Everything goes. They quit praying. But they'd meet, have a testimony meeting. Somebody lead a prayer meeting, a testimony meeting. And then they'd gather around the altar and pray. And then they'd have another season of prayer and pray. And all of it was about lost people. All of it was about people lost. And in the next verse it says, he that goeth forth weeping. If you look at that verse 6, everybody here looking for some, always take your Bible to church. You worship God in spirit and in truth. And it says, he that goeth forth what? Weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You put that in practice, you can get some. I can't get anybody to come. Take that verse of scripture and say, Lord, you said if I go weeping. How long has it been since you really wept about lost people? How long? How long has it been? I was over in Greensboro, right out of Greensboro. And on Friday night, we was having family night. A man came up to me and said, I've got two of my children. They're not saved. And said, I'm going to have them here tomorrow night. And so he filled a pew to my right, second pew back on the right side. I got through preaching. A lot of people started coming down. Had several people saved. See, the reason more people don't get saved in church is because we ain't bringing them. And his daughter came. She got saved. And the boy stood there and didn't come. And after service over, people rejoicing, coming by and shaking hands. See, used to, you'd have people saved, and you wasn't in a hurry to go home. You'd come by and hug their neck and tell them you got saved. Now you got to go eat. But then, in those days, they were more concerned about the loss than we are today as a whole. And that boy left. And while we're standing around there, and there's quite a few still there, there's such a spirit of revival, and that boy came back in. And what happened was, Brother Billy was standing by his daddy. And his daddy was crying for his children. And a tear hit his hand. He said, I pulled up in that driveway. And I could see that tear on daddy's hand for me. I had to come back and get saved. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Be honest with yourself, folks. Please do. How long has it been since you were just broken? Because people, one breath away from hell. That's all. What if Jesus were to come today? Some people and neighbors, even some people who joined this great church where they heard the word of God, didn't get saved. You can't, how many men did dropped out and have no desire to go back? You've got to realize a lot of church members are not saved. Do you know today in this service, do you know today that there's nothing between your soul and the Savior? Would you like to meet the Lord? Not one soul that you helped to Jesus Christ. Would you like to meet the Lord with your Sunday school record, your choir record, your attendance record? You don't have to. You don't have to. This church is about Jesus. Faithfulness. I'm talking about here and flowing tears. Sowing tears. I was in Kingsport, Tennessee. The pastor said, let me tell you something. He said, I had a lady, I preached last Sunday's week on soul winning, how to win people to Christ. And a lady walked out and said, preacher, I got to do something when I get home. And she left. Not the next Sunday, but the following Sunday. What happened was that Sunday she went home. She said, preacher, she came back and here's what she told him. I said, that oh, just so stirred me, my boy in Alabama. In fact, in Fort Payne, Alabama. And said, he's lost, and I can't stand it. Said, I can't. He said, she went home. She said, I got everybody out of the house. Said, I wanted to do something. She got the kitchen cleaned up. She said, then I got me a pan. And I got on my knees in the kitchen. And said, I wept and I cried for Frank, who was lost. Preacher, I couldn't stand it. If my boy went to hell. Have you ever had that burden? How long has it been since you have brothers and sisters or people you work with? You couldn't stand it. But anyway, and she said, I wept, and then I got me a little bottle, and I took that pen, and I poured in that little bottle, and I sealed it, and I put a track around it, and I put a note on there, said, Dear Frank, these are the tears Mom said for you. Said, last night, that's the second week, on Saturday night, at 11 o'clock, said, my phone rang, and I got up, and I said, hello? And they, somebody said something, said, who is this? I said, Mom, this is Frank. She said, anything wrong, son? Is your wife, or my wife's fine? Were kids all right? I said, Mom, they're all fine. I said, I got your bottle of tears. Mom, I couldn't stand it. I went to the revival tonight, and that's what I called to tell you, I got saved. Lay there sowing tears shall reap in joy. We're going to hell because we don't have a burden. We don't have a desire. We need something, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't come down here, Brother Billy. My heart's so burdened for revivals. I'm so burdened that, hey, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to say more. But you and I, he said, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to, if my Father sent me and I'm sending you, the Great Commission is to me and you and going to all the world. It's to everybody. Preach the gospel, make disciples, and teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. We need a revival of forsaken burden. Forsaken burden. Oh, Paul said, I wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen. Oh, Jeremiah said, oh, that my head were a fountain of waters. He weep with people night and day. How long has it been since you felt that way? I believe this, the closer you get to Christ, walking with Christ, the greater burden you'll have for the lost. You just become a normal Christian and you won't have the burden. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And then he said, we're ambassadors for Christ, Paul said. We're representing our Lord. He came looking for you and me. Now he left us to carry out. Let's have revival.